With me in the studio today, I have one of my very, very special dear friends, Dr. Lillian. Thank you for being here today.
Oh,
I'm
it's
so
good
excited.
To be here.
Yes, I love talking to you. We always just have such lovely talks. And every time we talk, I feel that this is something that people need to hear what you've got to say. And you've been on TV with me before and we've done conferences together. So I'm just thrilled to have you on the podcast and just introduce yourself to the listeners.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me, Caroline. I'm Lillian Lockett Robertson, board certified obstetrician gynecologist, and I am just so amazed to have you as my friend. I'm excited to be here with you today.
Thank you. Okay, so now we've got so many issues. As a board certified OBGYN, there's so many topics that we can talk about. So I know that also in addition to that, I'm going to start with the other side of what you do first, because you're married to a pastor, so you co-pastor a church in Washington.
In Washington.
And you are doing all kinds of amazing projects. So it's just on my heart because we were just speaking about it now and it's so wonderful. So let's start there and then we'll come back to the medical stuff.
Well, wonderful. Well, you know, as I said earlier, I'm a physician, OBGYN, and I grew up in Houston. And it's really interesting. For 22 years, I was a private practitioner in obstetrics and gynecology. And about 5 years ago, I was invited to Washington to speak at a women's conference on women's health. My husband had been married before his wife died of cancer. And so the women in his ministry invited a female physician up to talk to the women about being good stewards of their health,
yeah,
and just as a tribute to the pastor's wife who had passed. And I met my husband.
Oh my gosh,
and
that's such a cool story.
And you know,
you didn't know when you were going to speak that day. You had some other plans happening in your life.
I had no idea. So we dated for about a year. What was really interesting, my husband, after I spoke, he flew into Houston and took me to dinner and flew right back. And so I says, there's something
romantic,
unusual about this guy.
Yeah.
And so we dated for a year and got married. We had two weddings. I had a wedding in Houston.
I like that.
And a big, huge wedding there and big bridal party. And then married again to the work that he's doing in Bremerton, Washington.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
So two weddings, two wedding dresses.
I haven't told my husband that. I want another one. That's so cool.
But I wear the hat of a pastor's wife.
That's
a new experience for me.
And you're still practicing, though?
I'm still practicing. I work in obstetrics and gynecology at St. Joseph's Hospital in Tacoma, Washington. And so with the congregation, I lead the women's ministry at our church, and so it's a new role, but it's really good, and I'm enjoying
amazing.
It and embracing it.
So now you're teaching wellness in your community.
Absolutely. One of the things that was so important to me when I came to the ministry about 5 years ago was to introduce a health and wellness initiative to our congregation. You know, for many years, we as Christians, we tend to, you know, not
neglect the body.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're not as good stewards of our body as we
and
should
the earth with the eating.
And the earth with our eating. And so we would go and pray for our congregants at the hospital in their homes. And I says, you know what? We need to teach people to be better stewards of their body.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we implemented a program called Kingdom Fit.
I love it.
And we really wanted to make sure that we helped people through education, advocacy, screening, and prevention.
Yeah.
And so we set out to teach them about health and wellness through nutrition and also through exercise and really just thinking about what you're thinking of, what you're eating.
That's amazing.
And so we use a lot of your material, Think and Eat Yourself Smart, when we implemented this, and it was a tremendous blessing to our congregation.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they enjoyed
that's
it.
Amazing.
What we tackled heavily was the modern American diet.
Oh, that's good, the mad diet.
Right,
yeah.
Because we realize now as physicians that about 85% of the diseases that we go to the doctors for are due to
lifestyle diseases, mind and
lack of
eating.
Exercise and eating the wrong thing.
Isn't that incredible?
So once we started,
and they're preventable. That's
absolutely
the thing.
That's the thing.
That's
the crazy reversible
thing. And reversible, which is wonderful. Preventable, reversible. This is mind changes and lifestyle
absolutely.
Changes. And you know that it relates so much to the CDC report that came out in 2014 and 15 and again in 16.
Mm-hmm.
How the trend for people dying 15 to 25 years younger has changed.
Right.
So people are now dying 15 to 25 years younger, whereas for decades they weren't.
Right.
But from preventable lifestyle diseases, there's been a reverse in the trend.
Yeah, and you know
which
what?
Which is crazy
because it's amazing. We know more now
about
how to do it better, but we're doing it worse.
We're doing it worse, and people are dying younger than they should be.
The thing that's really, I think, a real problem too is that in medicine, you know, we're not curing diseases, we're treating diseases.
Disease
and
management.
So we're managing it, and so the emphasis is not to really prevent but it's to just suppress them through pharmaceuticals and through other modalities to make the body well. But I like your ministry because, you know, your ministry helps to embrace what I grew up and know the most about. My father was a pastor and minister, and my mother and was a school teacher. And so we went to church, we went to school. And so my dad teases me all the time. He says, you know, you and I do the same thing. We both lay on hands and heal people. You just went to medical school.
Just a little thing in between.
But what has been such a blessing to me personally is that I'm able now to embrace everything that I am and I know God, about science, and bring it together to really help people get well and feel better and live better lives. And so your ministry has been a blessing. And thank you.
Thank you for what you do. Okay, so now you have a massive sort of the way you approach it's massive because it's not really practicing medicine. You bring the mind into your practice. And as a practicing OBGYN, you're seeing women what do you always say? I love it. Womb to.
We treat women from womb to tomb.
I love it.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that I like about it now is that, you know, we're not just handing out medicines anymore. We're not just writing prescriptions for fix-all things. Yeah. We're teaching and helping people understand you are in control of how your body can function. You have to think about it and understand, you know, to make better decisions and really get to the bottom of what's really bothering you.
What's really causing this issue.
Getting to the root cause of that. And so working with patients with that and starting as early as during their fertility years when they're deciding that they want to get pregnant. And so particularly sometimes some of our young ladies that are newly married will come to the practice and, you know, excited about getting married. And then when they marry, they have problems with, you know, intimacy and connecting with their husbands because of past pain and past experiences and unforgivenesses, hurts.
Yeah.
And, you know, impropriety in some to some extent where they've had some experiences. And it really does cause a tremendous amount of physical problems based on some of the emotional problems that they have.
Which is directly in alignment with the research, which is showing that there's a direct causal link between life experiences and physical results in our body. And how it can manifest in a multitude of ways. You know, the infertility, the problems with intimacy, the problems with issues, and physically, et cetera, et cetera.
It all goes together. We're starting to learn a little bit more about adverse childhood experiences. And there's research that's showing that children that get exposed to traumatic backgrounds, traumatic experiences, they have more risk for worsening diabetes, asthma, and other medical
cardiovascular
problems.
Cancers,
and you know, heart disease. And so this work that you're doing is really helping us to wrap our minds around how we can heal ourselves and how we can empower ourselves and empower our patients to really understand their disease process and what they can do about it, basically in thinking better.
Oh, that's amazing. It's been a dream of mine to be able to connect with physicians in this way, and it has. I mean, I'll be honest with you. 25, almost 30 years ago, when I started practicing, it was almost impossible to try and convince even a PCP, even a psychiatrist who's supposed to be dealing with the mind, to recognize the power of the mind over the body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an absolute dream come true that some of my best friends are. This is how you practice medicine.
Yes, yes.
You know, we respect and honor the medical side. That knowledge is just a gift from God, but it goes hand in hand.
It goes hand in hand
with the spirit and the soul component.
Absolutely.
We can't separate them.
We're mind, body, and spirit. And what you're doing, the work that you're doing, is a game changer for us as doctors. It's a game changer. It's really, really giving us a tool, because we don't get trained like this in medical school. Nobody trains us like this. And, you know, either you, the Lord, you know, just bring someone into your life to help you get exposed to that. But it's a tool that we can have as physicians to help our patients understand that your mind controls your brain, and your mind controls your body. It controls your hormones. It controls how you walk.
How you feel and your stress and your everything. It controls everything. So it's really, I'm so happy that it's having this impact, and I'm so happy to see the change. And for me, the change is that's starting to happen in medicine, because for me, it's if you think of it, most people will, their first line of action if they're feeling down or gone through any kind of issues, to go straight to the PCP or whatever, or straight to this, you know, the specialist, depending on what the problems are. But as you say, they're not trained to deal with mine. So then they get slapped onto psychotropics and labeled, and then the problem gets, you know, just accelerates with additional issues. And
that's the labeling. It's the labeling that's the problem, because we as doctors, we have to give a label because the patients are expecting a label.
They're expecting
and
it.
And so if you notice, that's how doctors are reimbursed, because you have to write a label. So the whole medicine is geared towards giving a label. And when we give a label, then there's a prescription that goes along with it. And it's a whole market behind that. But we start to notice, and I start
is it young, changing? Yeah.
It's yes. And you know, when we work with our young moms, when they're getting, you know, deciding to have babies and get pregnant, we work with the mind. We tell them, you know, what's your relationship like? Are you in a stable relationship? So on and so forth. And so then we start to work with them early on and all the way down through menopause and on through the senior years of life. But you have to work with the mind. And so we noticed that. I noticed that in my practice, particularly with, we talked about pelvic pain and issues with infertility and issues with menopause. It all starts with, you know, how we work with the mind.
That's incredible. Okay, so some of the biggies that tend to probably pop up in your practice, PCOS and menopause and infertility and
postpartum depression.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of those. Let's start with postpartum depression.
You know, postpartum depression, we see probably in about 20% of the ladies that after they've had a baby, generally we say within 4 months of delivering a baby, women will sometimes experience something called postpartum blues. And with that...
Baby blues.
And with that, because there's such a drastic decrease in estrogen and progesterone immediately
after birth.
And so it changes our hormones. And so a lot of ladies feel inadequate to take care of their babies. Some of them feel like, you know, I don't understand. I'm not making enough milk. I don't have the support. There's fatigue. There's perhaps there could have been a traumatic birth experience.
Yeah.
And so they develop that postpartum blues state. And so then they come back to us. And so we're forced to, you know,
to do something for them.
But what I find now is that we can take a different approach, because when we're trained as doctors, a lot of times, the first thing we want to do, because we don't have much time to spend with them, is to give them a prescription.
Yeah.
And so we're learning now that we can support them.
We can
help them with their diet, you know, getting off the modern American diet, making sure they're getting
It's a big role. Does that play quite a role in postpartum depression?
Huge role. Because if you're not getting your proper nutrients and you're not getting your proper rest, then you get depressed and then you get irritable, then you're not sleeping well, the baby's crying at night, you don't have the support. And coincidentally, men can get postpartum blues as well.
That
because of
is
the stress of
fascinating.
That, and they're experiencing some of the same things that the women are going through.
And they have to now try and deal with they don't know how to deal with their wives. They don't know how to deal with this new baby. They're all not sleeping. So there's this whole triage kind of thing of going.
Intimacy with the relationship has changed. The baby's crying. You know, everybody's tired. Yeah. And so I think the thing, we have to roll back and slow down and just get a handle on what's going on. And let's
what's
just
your story, not what's wrong with you?
What's your story?
And the research shows, just by literally saying, what's your story? Someone sitting down and
talk
doing
therapy.
That, which is part of what we talk therapy, which is part of what I always did with my family therapy, which we're now building into a whole month therapy, is to actually teach people how to listen.
Yeah.
I always say the best therapists are the family. If there's an issue in the family is the best therapist.
We can work through it.
And you're literally the professionals, the facilitator, but shouldn't be giving therapy per se.
Right.
You know, and that's I'm sure you
because
see the
same
sort of thing.
We're also relational. We're also relational. And almost invariably, when you can help a woman through that period, if you can help her understand and just give her the support that she needs, it really does make a difference in how she does. And so we try to do that. We try to build that in and create environments in our practice for where those ladies can get the help that they need.
Now, that is powerful. That is very powerful, because I know so many people approach me about postpartum depression. It's something that I speak about. I've done TV shows about it. And it is when I first started practicing, everything you said, what's your story, what's going on. But it's shifted, and now in this day and age, they don't even ask those questions. They go straight to the psychiatrist, or they're sent by the PCP to the psychiatrist, and they're slapped onto antidepressants, which then make them feel worse, because you know yourself, I mean, there's more than 3,000 side effects of an antidepressant.
Well, not only that,
and
what are we giving our babies? Because we believe that breastfeeding is very, very important to stabilize the baby
hormones.
And to make sure that the baby nutritionally is sound. But what are we giving our babies through those antidepressant medications? We have to really, really think that through. A lot of
these babies are going through withdrawal. You've seen that, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Babies are being born with moms that have been through pregnancy on antidepressants.
Yes.
They've been born
yes.
with withdrawal. And to watch a newborn in withdrawal, I mean, I'm sure you've seen that.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a real problem.
It's a problem,
you know,
in this day and age.
Well, what it also forces women to do is that much needed time for lactation support, they choose not to because of the medications. So if you're slapped on medication, then that option gets taken away.
See, that gets taken away, and that's not the solution, because your mind is numb, so you feel, because one of the experiences of one of the ladies that I interviewed who had gone through that experience, she was just immediately put straight onto, her PCP didn't even literally see her, just referred her straight through to a psychiatrist. And
well, we need that oxytocin.
Yeah,
that
we gotta
have that.
Gets
released during the postpartum time. We need the oxytocin, the milk letdown, that helps with bonding, that helps with affection, that's, you know, well-being, helps the mom.
It helps to
be
prevent
a better
the baby
mother.
Blues.
And
yeah.
it also helps to prevent the baby blues. The serotonin, the oxytocin, the endorphins, all of that stuff is necessary. And it happens normally after the end of pregnancy. But if we're placed on medication, then that whole hormonal balance
gets disturbed. And you've got this whole, all the side effects happening. You've got the numbing, the medication spellbinding of the antidepressants.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so there's a lot of that can actually accelerate and make something that shouldn't actually last that long become very long.
Right.
And there's also the whole stigma test that women don't talk about.
Right, right. And then we get the label. So then
yeah.
once we finally go to the doctor for, there's the label again, and
yes.
there's more medication. So I think if we can, you know, what's
get
your
away
story?
From labeling.
Get away from
what's
the labeling.
Mm-hmm.
If we can really
train
start the
families,
out
train
with
the community.
Support, mm-hmm. we have something called centering classes that are very, very helpful. You know, we
wow.
have, this is an opportunity for ladies while they're pregnant to be in a support group. And so rather than just one-on-one prenatal counseling, we're in a support group. We can
That's
talk
beautiful.
About what some of our stresses. We can tell each other our story.
That's
and
incredible.
And when we're telling our story, then, you know, this is what happened for me and this is what I did. Perhaps you should try this recipe. Maybe this happens. Well,
wow.
speak to your husband this way. Let your husband know this. And then you can get the support because
get
you're in a center of class.
Support.
So it's a group therapy for prenatal
of situations.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with a TV series called The Midwife?
I've heard
it. It is outstanding. And the reason I bring it up is because it comes back to how they used to do
mm-hmm.
prenatal and the postnatal care. And
mm-hmm.
it was all around the center. They would come, they would have the midwife going to their homes, a lot
mm-hmm.
of home deliveries, or they could have hospital. But it was all centered around support, explanation, talk, come and share your stories, come together for the
right.
groups. And then that was the transition in the early 20s, 30s, over to the more hospitalized birth. And that was removed out of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been that, you know,
yeah.
at that stage, the postpartum depression, the statistics increased with, I'm sure you're aware
right,
of it.
Right, right,
in totally changed.
Well, you know, Caroline,
with the change
currently my practice style now, I work with midwives. I work with midwives
wonderful.
And I work with residents and we train other doctors. And so there's a group of midwives that I supervise. We can really see the distinction with how the midwives work with their patients versus
oh, really?
The obstetrician. Yeah.
Uh-huh. They connect.
And so,
they tell the story, find out the story.
They find out the story. They actually go through the whole parturition process of totally different
wow.
than obstetricians. And so we're starting to see less and less of the postpartum depression because the midwives have listened to the story.
They've got a support system.
And they have a support system.
Yeah.
They are with the patients during the time of delivery when all of the stress of the pain occurs and they're holding
fear,
their hands.
The
So it's a lot of emotions that are involved. All of
Huge,
the hormones are
yes.
changing. There's two
and
patients
child,
on the table.
I mean, it's something else.
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful thing. So the midwives, so they've got your expertise,
they have
but
our
they're
expertise.
Walking because you don't have time to do.
Well, we supervise them.
So
know,
that's
so
they've got your connection.
Right,
yeah,
right.
they've got the
yeah.
supervision.
We're there. If there are complications, if the lady doesn't dilate, if there are other obstetrical concerns, and so obviously we back them up. But it's a beautiful arrangement where you have oversight to midwifery care and you get that exposure as well.
This is powerful
so,
information.
Yeah.
This is so powerful. We have to have you back for another podcast.
Oh, I'd love to come
there's
back.
So many other things to discuss. And I know this is going to help thousands of women.
Yes.
So thank you
yes.
so much. Thank you for your openness,
you for
your honesty, your
me.
Wisdom. And I just love you, Lynn. You're
oh.
amazing. Thank you
love
so
you too,
much.
Caroline. Thanks for having
Thanks
me.
Thanks for being
be
on the show.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.